Yeah. Hello! Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. Oh, I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dansky Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling. A.K.A. Donnie Capri from that time I traveled to Italy, Europe. A.K.A. Don Strowman, the Patreon Don. A.K.A.
Thanks for nothing. You're dismissed.
Bye-bye. A.K.A. the modern day goof. Raja. Coming at you like Scott Bakula, baby. Come on, Sam. Let's take a quantum leap. Gabba wee. The girl, she is mine. And she's fine.
Shock the system.
What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction.
Being prepared for a night she'll never forget.
With all of our spicy, that almost made sense, wrestling reactions. Woo! WrestleMania, you heard it here first. We got weather on the 9s. We got predictions on the 10s. And hey, remember, kiss your kids goodnight.
Kiss your kids goodbye. I thought you were going to say kiss your kids goodbye.
Remember, kiss your kids goodbye. Wow, you want to try one?
Oh, man, yeah.
Okay. All right, ready?
You're listening to WYP, home of the Eagles on Philly Radio. Up next, we got John Cena, but I can't see him. Is he here?
All right, man. We haven't got good at that at all.
Flabadoo.
I thought that's a skill we would pick up.
Didn't you think he said white rapper dude?
Rapper. Yeah, I thought he said
dude?
That. I thought that's
no,
what he said.
That's not what it is.
Well, I was
it's
wrong.
It's a sample. He says something. Somebody's
well,
name.
Unbelievable. Well, hey, coming at you, everybody. We got breakfast on the 10s. We got lunch on the 9s. And we got dinner on the 5s. Coming at you. Traffic is hot, baby.
Coming at you.
Oh, man. Hey, guys, for your first listeners, you probably turned this off already, but this is a pro wrestling podcast. I swear it is. I'm spiced up. Had an audition today. Had a little bit of coffee today. And kind of weirdly, got a lot of nervous energy here, but we'll get into that. Before we get into it, remember, this podcast is grassroots, okay? Support us like you support your candidate for prez. Donate. Go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling, and look, we're not asking for handouts. I mean, the rewards on there speak for themselves, okay? We got tons of bonus episodes on there. Movie dissections of movies with professional wrestlers in it, and interview with Cole Cabana, interview with Nicole Byer. Tons of stuff. The 9 to 5 8-hour episode. I mean, the value on there is ridiculous.
Yeah. I wish
for
you could see.
A couple dollars, yeah. You can listen to, I don't know, how many hours on there? Probably like 100 hours
at
of
least,
content.
Yeah.
Evergreen content,
10%
baby.
Of which is one episode.
That's right. That is true. Anyway, also remember to rate and subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, or if you use a Droid, whatever you do on there, go on there. We're trying to get our push to 1,000 subscriptions. Right now, I think we have only like 222, which is embarrassing, especially considering the numbers of people who listen to this podcast. But hey, we're making it worth your while on there. So I'm going to be mailing out artist prints from the artist, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to professional wrestling. Lauren Moran gave us prints of her Becky art, which is the iconic art that was, I saw all around the Royal Rumble, all the shirts. It's her drawing of Becky with her face bleeding. As far as I'm concerned, that is the official merch of Becky, because the WWE merch for Becky is horrendous.
Yeah, not great.
really bad. Just go in there, rate and subscribe, give us 5 stars, write a review, nice review, and write your name in there, and I'll track you down, and I'm gonna mail you stuff, okay? Anyway, remember, we got... Oh, also remember, you can cash in, get your opinion on this podcast. I keep forgetting to plug that we can cash in. You can leave us a voicemail, and your voicemail will be played on the show via a cash-in feature. Some people are asking me, what's the cash-in? Oh. Right? All you do, you leave us a voicemail, 316-530-2429-316. 530-2429. Blow my mind.
Gabba gabba wee gabba.
Hey, cool it, Howard. Hey, look, remember, okay, these are a big announcement. This is the main thing, okay? And maybe I should lead with this, but I didn't, because it's just, this is not a professional show, okay? No. Calmania, WrestleMania weekend in New York City, Saturday, April 6th at 4 p.m., right before the ROH show, 5 blocks away in Midtown Manhattan, 5 blocks from Madison Square Garden. So if you got tickets to go to the ROH G1 Supercard show, right before that, come check out Calmania. We're going to be doing a live podcast, live comedy show, it's going to be an awesome, awesome time. Dolph Ziggler will be on the show. So you can get tickets right now. They're selling pretty fast. Just buy them now. If you're thinking about coming, buy them.
Yeah.
You get it. Check out all links of my social media, my at Dan Black Attack. The link at my Instagram will be there, or on my Twitter, also at Dan Black Attack. Didn't realize these social media things were going to stick around so long. Those are my handles. But also, just go to Improv Asylum is where the show will be. Check out their website, Improv Asylum. You can buy tickets on there now. They're not expensive. And if you're a URL guy, tiny.cc/cowmania, and for your dad, http://tiny.cc/cowmania. Okay, great. Now look, before we get into Fastlane, Raw, and SmackDown, unfortunately, I got to throw over to the phone. We have on the line right now Adam Letterman, the current heavyweight cow champion. For the new listeners, is the ex-sponsor of the podcast who stole the cow title from me. You could see all that, check out our Instagram, join our Facebook page, talk about wrestling at 4 a.m. You could see all this stuff is documented. He stole the cow title from me. I've challenged him to get the cow title back through a match, even though he stole it from me. I graciously made him the champion. And I've challenged him at Calmania, April 6th, tiny.cc/Calmania, buy your tickets. But he's turned down a match against me, and he says he's on the podcast here today, and I have to let him on, right? I mean, he's the champion. We have to hear. We have to hear what's going to the fate of the title. So he's here, and he's going to announce who is going to be the first challenger, the number one contender for the Cal Heavyweight Championship. So, I know. Should we throw the phone?
Yeah, I got him. Hold on. Let me just play it in.
Okay.
He should be there.
He's there.
Adam. Yeah.
Adam?
Yeah. Dan, you there?
Yeah. All right, everyone. Cal Universe, we have Adam Letterman, the current Cal Heavyweight Champion, on the line, here to announce who will be the number one contender, because obviously it's not going to be me. Adam Letterman, who's going to be the number one contender? Unless you choose me.
Yeah, Dan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, it's loud. I'm just leaving Del Frisco's. I got a couple of my associates with me celebrating another multi-million-dollar win. You know, you got to love asbestos. It just keeps paying the bills.
Yeah, okay. Love asbestos. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you got to love it. I mean, you have to love it, right? I mean, the kind of money we're making out here is crazy. So anyway, let me just walk to a quiet corner. I wanted to call. You know, my mom was on the podcast last week. She was being verbally assaulted by your mom, as far as I'm concerned.
That's what
and,
you saw.
And she made some promises. And listen, I she said I was going to announce who was going to be getting a title shot at Lettermania. And I'm not going to make her look like a liar. Certainly, I've always been a man of my word. So here I am. I'm here. I've looked through and I've thought about who's going to be getting a title shot. And I got to tell you, it's hard because Cow Nation is full of undeserving losers. And, you know, listen, it's not easy to pick somebody. But, you know, I've narrowed it down and I'm ready to announce who's going to be getting a title shot.
All right. Well, who's it going to be?
All right. So of all the people in Cow Nation, it's going to be.
Mr. Letterman, can I interrupt you for a moment?
This is
Ted Kozak, Hollywood attorney. You know who I am?
I have no idea who you are.
Oh, that's a shame. What do you do?
I am an attorney.
You don't know who I am?
I have no idea who you
what
are.
What kind of law do you practice?
Is this big shot, quote unquote, lawyer that Skylar Pitch Mr. Perfect has been talking about? Is that who this is?
Skylar Aston's a personal client. Yeah, that's true. You know? Do you know Skylar?
You know, I knew I shouldn't have called in. You know, I had a feeling that you sleazeballs had something going on here.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Well, we have some legal issues here with you. Okay, I don't want to be.
You have legal issues with me.
I don't have any legal issues. I'm here as a favor to my client, Skylar Aston, Star of Graves.
Thank you for being here.
I am just here to represent his interests so that I make sure he doesn't get himself in any trouble on this podcast. All right, so we do have a couple of legal issues.
Yeah.
All right.
Just a fair representation. Right, there's nothing wrong with representation, right? Don't you represent people? I brought some representation.
Yeah, who are your clients? Anyone like Skylar Aston?
I mean, Skylar Aston, that's a client. I mean,
Zac Efron, do you know Zac Efron?
Are you guys? I mean, I feel like no one in Hollywood works. What are you? You're hanging out on a podcast over here.
What are you?
I'm supposed to be afraid. You're podcast lawyer.
I'm not trying to scare you. You're just all of a sudden mentioning you're afraid. I don't know where this is coming from, but I asked you who your clients are, and you said no one works, and you're all afraid.
I mean, listen, I can't put my clients' names out there. That's a breach of confidentiality.
Because most of them are dead from asbestos poisoning.
That's one way of looking at it.
Okay, so we're going to press charges on you.
Against me? For what?
The first charges that we're going to press are for assault and battery in both the states of California and New Jersey for assault on Mr. Newman and Mr. Black that we have on video.
Oh, my God. Is this a load of bullshit?
The idea of video is bullshit?
Wait a second. The video clearly shows that I was attacked and acting in self-defense. I was acting in self-defense. I think maybe you only saw part of the video.
The video is not doctored in any way.
I was acting in self-defense.
Okay, agree to this. We'll get back to self-defense later because there's more charges coming. Slander and libel.
Slander and libel? Yeah, what did I say?
Referring to Dan as unfunny on social media, that hurts his career. He can't get a job. I know him only through Skylar, but he doesn't work.
A high-powered lawyer like you would know that a defense to slander and libel is truth. And truthfully, Dan Black is not funny.
Can you stipulate to that? Can you bring me depositions to that effect? Because I don't have any knowledge of this man's comedic potential. I only know what my client tells me, which is that he's a fan. The third one is larceny for stealing the Cow title, which was technically in Dan's possession and the possession of the Comedians of Wrestling podcast at the time that you took it.
I would argue that I earned that title.
That is grand larceny.
I would argue that I was wronged and that in exchange for being wronged on the podcast by him not reading my advertiser reads, I took the Cow title as collateral and then things deteriorated from there when Dan couldn't handle it.
But so you're then advocating that you can operate in a shadow economy. Someone doesn't read an ad, you can just take their belt.
To be fair, Mr. Kozak, it's a title, not a belt. So okay. I would appreciate the respect I deserve as the rightful Cow champion.
Oh, well, according to everything I've seen, it's priceless. You don't have any.
It's definitely not priceless. It's garbage. It means something to Dan, so it means something to me.
These charges, there's a real beauty waiting for you. Attempted murner. Apparently, you threw Newman off a cliff.
Attempted what?
Attempted murder for throwing someone off a cliff.
He put Newman in the hospital. He threw him off of a cliff.
You threw him off an actual cliff.
Well, listen.
Did you just groan? Did you just groan? You were just charged with three meaningful charges and one attempted murder charge, and all you have to say is,
Listen, I'll say that video shows Newman plotting an attack on me. Plotting an attack on me, premeditated attack on me, and I was forced to defend myself And I would say, I would argue
it was an unreasonable exertion of force.
Him in and he slipped off of the mountain.
So your legal defense for throwing someone off a cliff is slippery feet?
What I'm saying is, I was acting in self-defense. If Newman if Newman can't stay on his feet, that's on Newman.
It's an execution of force far disproportionate to what was coming at you. You didn't need to throw him off a cliff. He was just putting his little fist
on you. Lawyer to lawyer, I think these charges are bogus.
Okay, I understand that.
I think they're all defensible.
Uh-huh.
I'd have to bring cross claims.
Okay. So everything that you're doing, this is all defensible. But are you really prepared to do everything you need to get off these charges, to fly back and forth 4, 5, 6 times from California? I will have you out here constantly for the bad PR that your firm, whatever your firm is, seems like it will suffer quite a bit. I mean, you said you have associates, so I'm assuming it's just more than you. You'll spend time away from your family. You'll have to pay for every motion I file. You'll have to pay charges to do a counter motion. So are you prepared to do those things?
We don't even have jobs, Letterman. Me and Newman will just sit in court all day.
I don't know
we
what
don't got
you
anything
think.
To do. You're gonna fly out here and sit in court with us?
I don't know what you think, but I'm underemployed.
Think about it.
Oh man.
We'll tie you up in the legal system all we want.
It's gonna be arduous.
Do you want to do that? You want to spend time away from Vera, your wife? You want to spend time wasting money?
You keep my wife's name out of your mouth, Dan.
No, think about it. You say my wife. We got you, man. You know you don't want to do this. We're asking for one simple thing. All you got to do, we'll come to you, New York, Saturday, April 6th at Calmania. Just make me the number one contender. Give me the title shot. It'll save you money, time, business, bad PR. I mean, I got this lawyer here. And thanks for doing this. I gave you a little money from the Patreon. I really appreciate that.
It wasn't even.
Yeah. So, yeah. Adam, is that really worth it to you over this one thing to just face me and give me what I deserve? Think about it, man. Think about it.
You know, I got to tell you, you are a real piece of shit.
No, you're a fucking piece of shit.
Takes one to know one, pal.
Yeah.
You're a real piece of shit. You and Newman are going to drag me out to California 5, 6, 7 times. I got to be away from my firm. I got to be away from my clients. I got to be away from my wife. I got to spend the money to fly there. I got to spend the money to stay there. You're a real piece of shit, Dan. You know what? You're a real piece of shit.
Just say it. Say it. Just say it.
I don't.
Just say it. Just say it. Give me what I want. Say it.
You want a shot, Dan Black?
Yes.
You got your shot. I can't wait to get my fucking hands on you.
Yes.
You come to New York for WrestleMania. You got your shot. Don't be surprised when I kick your ass up and down Calmania and show your listeners what a little bitch you really are.
Yo, thank you, Ted. Listen, you piece of fucking trash. Okay, the one thing you don't know.
Now you think you got the upper hand?
You slob. You disgusting slob.
You think you got the upper hand now?
Listen, the thing you don't know is that
since
the bash at the beach, I've been getting ready for you. Okay, buddy? Go check out my Instagram. It's going to haunt you. I'm going to be posting my whole routine getting ready for you, which I've already started in fucking droves. I am fucking ready. I'm in the best shape of my life. And that Saturday, April 6th, in front of my family, in front of everybody I know, I'm going to show everyone the fucking disgusting piece of trash that you are. You pile of fucking turds.
When I get you in front of your friends and family, I am going to embarrass you.
Nothing.
When I get your mom, when you're crying and your mom's looking at you and she's crying and she's in pain, I'm going to look her dead in the eyes. I'm going to say, your son brought this on himself.
You know what, buddy? You think you're going to lie awake at night thinking about how we goaded you into this? That's assuming you're going to have any brain function left after Dan bounces your big ass skull off the fucking stage.
Oh, Sherry Black. I just picture the tears in Sherry Black's eyes, and I know she is going to be feeling the pain that I inflict on you April 6th at Calmania.
All right. Listen, buddy, the time for talk is over. Okay, just check out my Instagram at Dan Black Attack and cower in fear and cry every night of the mistake you just made. And that cow title is coming home with me. Gabba, gabba, fucking wee. Hang up on this idiot. Yes, I am pumped. Yeah, let's celebrate here.
Yeah.
Woo. This Hold on, I'm gonna crack a LaCroix.
What flavor?
Lime. Duh. Right. And if you drink anything else, then you know what I feel about you, baby. You're out of touch. Man, I miss this song.
It's great.
I think like the first time I heard this, and I was like, I would enter to this. That's how I listen to music. I go, can I? I was like, should I enter this? Like, just hold on, I'm gonna restart it. Right? All right. Start slow, you know. And I missed the like long entrance.
Yeah.
Only Taker does like a long entrance. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like I always said, this is what I would enter to. Maybe I'll come out to this Cowmania. I definitely will. And then this hits, then maybe you just put just your foot through the curtain. You know what I mean? You just have they're like, oh, what's going on here? And then one hand comes out and I start playing the air piano, Buchenhagen style.
Yeah.
And then I slide all the way out with my back facing and I'm still playing the piano and it pauses. Turn around. And I start shaking. Anyway, wow. Drinking a LaCroix. Finally, retribution is mine.
Man.
And I've been keeping low-key about it, but I told this guy I would be ready. I told Adam Letterman that I would be ready for him. I vowed when he attacked you on the beach that I will be ready for him. I've been training my fucking ass off for Cowmania.
You're looking beefy.
Thanks, bro. And I'll be ready. I tell you, I'm ready for a guy like that. A guy who comes on this podcast and says, isn't asbestos great?
I mean, what was that? No.
This is what we're dealing with. This is the level of trash. It brings out, truthfully, I'm cursing, which is not even my best self. I'm cursing. He brings out the worst in me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just getting so guttural, so angry. I'm not even being clever or anything. I'm just bringing out a vile, visceral part of myself that I'm not proud of. But hey, I think this is great news. So, guys, I mean, we are having a match at Cowmania, the main event of Cowmania. So this is unbelievable. You know what? And just because I'm feeling good, you know what we're going to do? We have Patreon episode right after this.
Yeah.
Movie dissection app.
Uh-huh.
We're going to do Jumanji.
Oh,
welcome to the jungle. We're going to have a movie dissection on the Patreon. The bonus episode will be of my favorite movie with a professional wrestler in it. Jumanji, welcome to the jungle.
Yeah. I watched it last night.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I own it. It's one of the three movies I own on iTunes. Fast and Furious 7, Mandy, and Jumanji.
Yeah, the movie is incredible. And by the way, a little preview, it's five moves. That'll be five moves for me. you know what, Cowmania? Just while we're talking about it, we're going to have tons of exclusive Patreon bonus content from Cowmania. Cowmania will be documented, and it's going to be for patrons. So if you can't make it there as a patron, I mean, you should be there. And we got even more announcements about Cowmania coming up next week. I was, to be honest, like, I feel so fired up that I finally got the match. I'm real excited
for Cowmania. Yeah.
Now I'm really, because I was a little nervous, you know?
Yeah.
About this thing, like the title match was going to be happening at Stout across the way. Anyway, let's get into pro wrestling this week. Crazy week in pro wrestling. We have to. I mean, it's even hard to move on, but let's do it. And I think, Newman, where we should start?
Bro.
No, not a Matt Riddle. No. Not a Matt Riddle. No. Where we should start is... No. Not at The Rock. Not at The Rock. We have no news on The Rock. It should be like no. He's going to be a double or nothing. He's not going to be at WrestleMania this year, from what it seems. Okay? I want to talk about Kofi Kingston.
Man, oh, man.
So, look. Let's talk about what happened at Fastlane. A lot happened in this week of pro wrestling. It's a bummer that I had to... bombard Letterman with my lawyer here, so we can't even just get into it. And well, once this is gone, we'll get back to normal here, okay? For the new listeners, we'll get back to being a pro wrestling podcast, okay? All right, so at Fastlane, the New Day barged into Vince McMahon's office, which was, by the way, it said McMahon family, and you like knock on it. In my head, I'm like, this is gonna be like some kind of office setting with like a bunch of like interns, assistants, whatever. It's literally walk in, it's like the most generic room with three couches and Vince McMahon sitting on the phone.
From what I understand, when WWE goes to an arena,
right,
and they find a room for their their like offices for the night. Yeah. They just find a room where they're going to put a rug, a couple couches, a plant,
yeah,
and that's it.
So
maybe a TV in the corner facing facing straight out.
When you think about what WWE does,
yeah,
it's kind of amazing. Like, I mean, first off, it is, it's flat out amazing. WWE, an incredible company. But you think about it, even when they set up like a shitty looking, they're like, there's Stephanie's office.
Yeah.
And it's just like three posters for like Chronicle on the network and like 2K19, yeah, or whatever. And like the next pay-per-view and a plant.
Yeah.
I mean, they traveled with that, right?
Right.
They got like,
there's some teamster with a truck full of fucking posters and potted plants.
Right. And they definitely have like couches. They're definitely traveling couches,
yeah,
all across the country on tractor trailers, because they can't like bank on the fact that there's going to be like a couch in the office there. Yeah.
I'm sure they do a little bit. I'm sure they're like, you got any couches around here? And they're like, no. They're like, all right, hit the truck up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They definitely have a truck with like everything. Like, I've been on when I'm like shooting stuff, right? Yeah. They'll be like, hey, this looks weird. Can we fly in like a rubber duck? And then someone's just like, yep, yeah, no problem. And then like some random PA like knows exactly where a rubber duck is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how anything gets made. It's unbelievable. The production, like, they're just like, let's change can we change the color of that couch? Like on the fly, someone just paints a couch. It's done in like 2 seconds. And these are on like low budget things too. Right. But WWE, they do it and they travel.
Yeah.
Which is like bananas. But yeah, so they pop in there, and then I want to talk about the first interaction there, which is they go like, Kofi's been waiting for like an hour, right? And then he goes in, the New Day just like barge in, Big E and Xavier barge in, and then he's just like, Vince is like, what, I've been waiting for you.
Yeah. Wait for an hour.
Yeah, we wait for an hour. No, I've been waiting for you. But he was on the phone, and it's like, he should have just said like, I'm on the phone.
Right.
But he's like, I'm waiting for you, which is just like a complete asshole move. Which, by the way, I'm loving just asshole Vince. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a new version of Vince. Vince, we've been saying he's like asshole Booker.
Not to be grim, but it almost feels like it's like Vince is like, I'm not long for this world. I'm just going to be direct Vince all the time.
Right.
You know?
It feels like how he really books.
Right.
Like, we're getting like the realest view of Vince. But I said a couple weeks ago, and I feel like he seems very loose. Yeah. Like, anyway, and then he's like, yeah, you're going to, oh yeah, you want to be in a match? He's like, all right, the title shot tonight is going to be a triple threat.
Yeah.
And you might want to get out to the wing because that starts now. He didn't even pull off what he was going for.
Right. Which he tried to clarify on Monday. Right. Yeah.
What he was going for was like, yeah, that's going to be a triple threat. Now go out to the ring.
Yeah.
But he said that match starts. He said that match starts now. Because
that match starts now. Yeah.
He said that match. Yeah. So it wasn't like, hey, you didn't hear what I said.
Very Trumpian, though, right? Like, I didn't say that. I said this.
Right.
Even
I like it more.
Yeah.
I like it more that he's just like, you're completely unpredictable.
Right.
Cool. Kofi gets out there. We saw what happened. The bar. He had to wrestle the bar. And, it's kind of amazing. Oh, good. Good. Something you guys will find out about later. Good. Got a nice email. But so it's kind of amazing because Vince has been injected to this storyline. And I think it's the storyline that's working the most going into WrestleMania. And that's kind of nuts that it's not the women's storyline for me. Now, there are a lot of cool things happen in that women's match. But the clarity of it is, it's very cloudy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll go through it in a second. But the Kofi thing makes perfect sense. Vince is coming out, and Vince is saying, look, he come out on SmackDown. You're good. You're really good. You're really good. To be honest, it's exactly what Stephanie and Triple H were saying to Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Which is what was so good about it, is that his opponent is Daniel Bryan, the guy who they called a B+, is calling Kofi Kingston a B+.
Right.
And the whole time Vince was out there, I was like, man, it's so hard for him not to say B+.
Yeah.
Like, it is the perfect summation of what they're trying to say, which is like, you're really good. You're really good in the Royal Rumble. You're a really good spot guy. You're like really reliable for the company, you know what I mean? But you're a B+ is the perfect way to sum it up. And the truth with Kofi Kingston is like, whereas Daniel Bryan is arguably an A+,
yeah,
Kofi Kingston, I think, is truly a B+. Right. All the points he made were, it's like, you're being held up by younger, cooler guys. Kofi Kingston was not really able to get over until he had the New Day. Mm-hmm. Those guys have more charisma than he does. Like, right?
Yeah.
You know Xavier Woods is the driving force behind the New Day brand. Like, that, right? Like, yeah. That's his whole deal. And Big E's really, they've all really taken to it. But truthfully, the charisma comes from those two guys. Mm-hmm. So.
Mostly Xavier Woods.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and Big E's like kooky and crazy and big. Right. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I thought this segment was nearly flawless.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite, like, because I've been coming down hard on some of the storytelling. This I thought was great. Now, I stick to my story that we didn't need Vince for this, you know? And I think Vince would have been better suited in the women's storyline.
Right. Yeah, but at least he's like showing up to like help the story along. Like, I feel like if it was like anytime Triple H a couple years ago, what was it? It was what was the storyline where he disappeared? Was it the Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, or didn't he like Triple H?
Oh yeah, Triple H gave Kevin Owens
and then just
the
vanished.
Belt and then just never. Right. He was, you know. And I guess you inferred like he wants him to be the guy over. Maybe did he screw Seth?
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, and then he started the beef with Seth, but it didn't pan out where he was like, Kevin Owens is the guy. Yeah. Like,
someone you idolize,
who cares for you and nurtures you. But yeah, so I think like, I thought this segment, like, Vince was just being a complete, like, troll almost.
Yeah.
And it was just like, he was Trumpian, really. He was like, no one deserves anything. You couldn't say anything right to him. There was nothing you could say. And then if you get to some point, he's going to just lie to you and just get you away from him and then completely turn his back on you. But then what I thought was really great. So I thought that did you sense any racial undertones in anything there?
I don't think so.
This is a separate thought from great. I said really great, and then I pivoted to another thought.
Yeah.
Because he said, like, someone like me.
Right.
He was like, there's never someone like me to compete for the title.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I didn't know if he was saying, like, I didn't know if there was somehow inferred there, which is
I actually kind of missed that. I guess I missed that line.
Yeah. Yeah. He literally said the line that was like, there's never someone like me competing for the title.
Then, yeah. Then I think that was probably what that was.
I think it was there, and I think they're doing some cool truth stuff that, like, true. I thought that was rang true.
It also means, like, a lot. It also means, because, like, Kofi Kingston's a little bit older.
Right.
He's not as, he's not as physically big.
Right. It's all that.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't explicitly say any of that, but I imagine that factors into the equation.
Yeah, you know? Also that.
And,
but that's
I
true.
Love that he said, he was like, look, first off, Kofi Kingston promo was an A+.
Yeah.
Okay? He was on fire. His facial expressions were great. He was completely focused. He was like, it was exactly what I want.
Yeah.
You know? It made total sense. And then what he said was the ultimate face thing. I thought it was such good writing. Is he was just like, I'm not here to like tell you what I deserve or whatever. I'm just saying, hey, how do I get it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, what do I need to do so I can do it? You keep saying I'm not this, I'm not that. I don't complain about anything. I don't complain that I miss. What do you say? He says, I have never taken my kids trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
I miss all that. I don't complain. I do everything. You know, I feel there's the most face way to do the CM Punk angle. You know, like, and it felt like it came from a genuine place that, like, Kofi Kingston really believes this. Authenticity is what gets it. You had authenticity of Vince, which he gave his real opinions about Kofi Kingston, right? There's no way any of that was fake.
No.
That came from a place like, you're a spot guy.
Yeah.
That's it. I put you in for spots. I didn't see anything with you. It's nice you got these young guys around you. And it's nice that they're singing your praises, but he was even saying, like, they're better than you.
Yeah. Called him Young Bucks, which I thought was very
smooth. That was interesting.
Yeah,
I think that was a slip. This booking is extremely smart. Kofi, he's fine. Beat these guys in a gauntlet match. It's like he has no shot to do it. He's going to do it. All this.
That felt very cinematic, too.
Yeah.
Like all them coming out.
Loved it.
Yeah.
And it ended the show, and then it turned into a huge brawl.
Yeah.
I loved it. This Kofi story is fantastic and completely out of nowhere. And Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan, we'll see it at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I just love the, I think what I like a lot about it is like the jilted, like their faces that are jilted in a way that's unique. Like even though this is sort of like, you know, the Daniel Bryan story or like the CM right. Punk kind of thing, there's like something about the New Day being before this, like on paper, company men, right? Like they're shilling for the company. They have all the merch and they go to all the things and they're very much the face of the WWE in a lot of respects.
Right.
And then it's sort of like the worst nightmare of any company or any authority is the worst nightmare of like, I thought that these guys were my best behaved people.
Right.
And now they're turning on me.
Yeah.
It's great.
I completely agree. It's like, it's kind of this like, it's almost like a nuisance for Vince.
Yeah.
You know, that he has to deal with this. But I just like, yeah, it's just really good. It's really good. Yeah. And the story's telling out great. And I felt like when they said B+, I was like, yes. This is it's been at the tip of all of our tongues. It's like, he is a B+ guy.
Yeah.
It's a match that, I would say this about this WrestleMania. It has so far zero matches on it that I'm fake excited for.
Yeah.
I've had matches in the past where I'm, all right, like Shinsuke AJ is an example last year. That's a match that I was fake excited for.
You're supposed to be excited for.
I'm like, that's going to be awesome. I'm doing the math. Like, Shinsuke's entrance is going to be really cool. Everybody loves him, so the pop's going to be huge. Those guys have, you know, they have so much history from Japan.
Right.
You know, it's going to be hot. But when it came down to it, I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
In my guts. You know what I'm saying? Every match on this card, I'm like pumped to see. Every one that they've are teasing, except for one.
Which one?
Ms. Shane McMahon. I really am not Shane McMahon, as far as I'm concerned. He shines on WrestleMania, so you got to give him that.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm concerned, the guy is acting, went in the shitter. He was never this bad.
Okay.
And since he came back, he's...
Okay. That's interesting. He sounds like... I always said he sounds like a manager giving, like, his team at, like, Jamba Juice a meeting. Like a pep talk.
Right? Yeah.
Everything he says is just like, all right, gang, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. I think that's a perfect analogy because it's like, he feels like he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, someone's in charge, but they don't want to be there, but they know they have to, like, lead by example, but you see they don't want to be there. And like he's like dead in the eyes. He's like dead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like his reads are hard. He doesn't feel like he wants to be there.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, then stop stealing spots from people on WrestleManias.
Right. No one's asking. No one's putting a gun to your head and be like, jump off of Hell in the Cell.
Yeah. It's like if it was for your kids, they saw it already.
Right.
Like they saw enough.
Yeah.
You only need your dad to jump off a cell one time. You know what I mean? Now it's vanity at this point. You know what I mean? But also, it's just like, sorry, you're not doing a good job.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah. But
people love Shane.
Yeah.
I've noticed that. I'm in a couple other. Is why I always say this. I stay in the other Facebook groups I'm in. I randomly am in some other wrestling faces. They're not picked or anything. I accidentally clicked into them or Facebook put me into them. I think a lot of them, when my stand-up clip went viral, like somehow people were requesting me in and I was automatically put in these groups. And some people are like, they're like pumped for Shane. They just love Shane because he's Shane McMahon.
Yeah. That's actually, before we move on to the next thing, something I love about wrestling is that like two people can watch the same exact product and just take completely something different away from it. Like not to knock her, but there are people whose absolute, their guy or their gal is Dana Brooke.
Right.
That's my favorite wrestler.
Right. But
Dana
Brooke. You know why they do that?
Why?
I used to do that when I was younger, right? Because I used to be like, I want to have something different. I want to have like a unique guy.
Uh-huh.
Like my favorite wrestler, I used to say, was X-Pac when I was coming up. And like, I didn't really like X-Pac. I just was like, I want a guy in DX who's like my guy.
Right.
And like, that was when you're trying to like find your individualism.
Yeah, I know what that is. I don't think I don't think that's what's happening with Dana Brooke.
You think some people are like,
that's just, people, it's just,
by the way, she looks great. I just want to say, Dana Brooke, seems like she lost a lot of weight, right?
Yeah, she shredded now. Did you know that people think that she's a replacement, like a clone?
What?
There's real people.
Like this a is, Melania I'm not doing Trump? A
bit.
Like,
yeah, yeah, I'm not doing a bit. There's people like all over Twitter who are like, WWE does this.
And these people are,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you guys okay. talking about clones.
I knew it was. These people, yeah, okay. Yeah.
No, Alex, come on. Let me just Alex tell the story.
No, 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 you don't know all the information. All right, they are clones. Dana Brooke, the original Dana Brooke. She is cryogenically frozen.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Under MetLife Stadium.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Where WrestleMania 35 is going to be?
Yeah, yeah. Well, why do you think? Okay, so she's cryogenically frozen under MetLife Stadium. They're going to use all the biometric heat from all the people at WrestleMania to thaw her out and use her body as a battery to power a supercomputer that they load their brains into and transcend the disease that they call humanity.
Oh, my God. And where did you get that information?
I got to talk to all the top officials. I got all the reports right here. Look, I got all my printouts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got all these printouts right here.
Pro wrestling sheet.
Pro wrestling sheet. Yeah, right. Yeah, 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 yeah. I got pro wrestling sheet. I got top rope news. I got ringside news. I got all the dirts. I got a Alexa Bliss Instagram butt page. I got.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I got it
all. Alex, just sit, stand in the corner for all a little right, bit so right, we can move the show. All right. We already had a big show here. Anyway, so. You know, all right, yeah. So, anyway, to Dana Brooke, you heard it here second.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Because Ronda, I mean, look, guys, it's wrestling is fucking spicy.
Yeah, wrestling is cool and good.
Wow. I mean, if you're not, this is one of those moments where I had it, it cooled off for me for a little bit, but I had a moment where I was like, man, I think probably around WrestleMania 34, around like the NXT TakeOver, where I was just like, man, if you don't watch wrestling, I just like feel bad for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're missing out. It's unbelievable. And then that died down for a little bit. And then now I'm just back in where I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Well, so really, much cool stuff happening. You're going to miss out all this Rousey stuff.
It really feels like they're starting to finally, like, there was a period there where they're getting a lot of new talent in and they're kind of changing the look of Raw and SmackDown and sort of like the way that it's handled. And now we're starting to see like, okay, that's all been organized. Now we're starting to see like when it, because it's working more now than it was when I started doing this podcast with you. So it's like almost like, oh, now all the pieces have been put in place over the last 2 years. And now it's like, okay, now things are cooking and it's fun again.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh no, you said cooking. You said that
sorry.
It's cooking. No, okay. All right. Listen, let's talk about this Ronda things. We got to get into it. So, okay. Fuck. I watched so much wrestling this week. So at Fastlane, all right. So first off, I just want to say I'm having a hard time following the women's feud, okay? Yeah. Maybe you won't feel this way. I actually hope you don't.
Okay.
So I hope it's just me, but okay. So Ronda at Fastlane. Wait, was it at Fastlane when she flipped?
No.
Fastlane, she came out and gave the
she
title
attacked.
Shot.
Yeah.
No, so it was on last Monday?
Mm-hmm.
What's that noise?
It's his laptop. I can hear
it. We hear
I can hear something.
I know, it's unbelievable. That's our producer who's some other media. He's listening to another wrestling podcast. It's unbelievable. No, it was last Monday on Raw.
Yeah.
Ronda started beating the shit out of Becky Shoot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she was punching her for real. Right?
Right.
That's what it looked like.
But then when did that video come out, the fake video? After we recorded.
Yeah.
So, but it was like close. Maybe that night even.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, she got mad and she started like, I remember on the podcast last week, we were like, was that a heel turn? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I remember that being in my notes. And then she put out these videos online. And so Ronda is now, listen, let's just listen to it.
So tonight when you were giving your promo and.
It wasn't a promo.
Cutting a promo.
They gave me other things to say. I didn't fucking say it. That's the thing. It's not a fucking promo. It's not an act. I'm not going out there and doing their fucking act anymore. They can say it's part of the act to kind of try to save face to everybody else, but it's not an act. I'm going out there. I'm doing whatever the hell I want, and they can explain it away however they want, but fuck them. Everybody, WWE Universe included. I meant that I'm going to disrespect the sport that they all love so much. Oh, don't break kayfabe, Ronda. Wrestling's it's scripted. It's made up. It's not real. None of those bitches can fucking touch me. The end.
Okay, so I, Newman, you just reminded me. I can't even believe I have to say this, yeah. But this is a work.
Yes.
This is complete work. I couldn't even believe people at all being like, oh my God.
Hook, line, and sinker.
This is beyond. We've talked about things that are like on the edge.
Yeah.
This is 100,000% a work completely approved by WWE. If you think otherwise, you're a true mark.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Well, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm jealous, by the way. Mark is the highest order of terms. Yeah. I'm trying to, if you guys, anyone has like the Men in Black pen will flash me in the eyes and make me think that wrestling is not a work, that'd be great. Yeah. I would love that. But I know it's a work. This, so when I came from the place of confusion, I'm not confused. I'm confused by the writing of this.
Right.
This is clearly written, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that Ronda is upset. I'm just a little confused by the motivation, right? Which we're constantly debating if, does it matter? Does it matter? No. Does it just like, whatever, Ronda's bad now. You know,
yeah.
The Daniel Bryan turned and then he decided to be the planet champion. No one cares about the origin anymore. So that's what they're always banking on. Right?
Right.
You know? The truth is that when they do longer form storytelling, it does pay off. You know? The Kofi thing has, like, length to it. But, so Ronda, she says, by the way, one reason you know it's fake is because she almost says the word fake and stops.
Yes.
She is going to go, wrestling is, and she stops and says scripted because there's probably a note. They're like, don't call it fake.
Yeah.
Cause, right?
Yeah. Second giveaway is her friend's bad acting.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't, they gave me other shit to say and I didn't say it. Oh, really? Her friend, like, yeah. Shut up.
Yeah, yeah. So, but keep in mind, yeah. I really think it's really awesome. So Ronda's justification for turning, which, keep in mind, I love this. I love her being mad, is she was still mad at the LA crowd, which I think is ridiculous. I don't like that. I don't think you can reverse. You can't go back in time and be mad about something you weren't mad at in wrestling. Yeah. Especially if our whole thing is like, oh, what happened last week doesn't matter. Right. You can't do it.
Doesn't matter.
You can't pick and choose. Doesn't matter. You can't pick and choose, really. But it's fine.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. That's not like hitting for anybody.
No.
I forgot about that. I was there. I forgot about it. You know what I mean? It's like, whatever. We let that go. A couple weeks ago, Daniel Bryan was in the Yes Chance. You let it go. It's part of wrestling. You never look back. You always move forward. Yeah. Right?
Even if it would be greatly beneficial for you to do so, you'd never, ever look back. What flavor is that?
Lime. Duh. Unbelievable. I'm celebrating. I'm getting drunk on LaCroix
today. You just like fucking, you just butt chug that first one.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah. LaCroix is great because I'm watching my calories. Been watching my calories since Bash at the Beach.
I was truly blown away at how many people were worked by this. I even had, like, on the whole spectrum, people who are smarks to people who, I have a friend who is, he's barely a casual fan.
Right.
And he texted me and was like, yo, is this real?
Yeah, well, because she's saying fuck.
Yeah.
Like, she is saying fuck, which is like, we know that it feels super real.
Yes.
Just, we all know it's not. We know that she has a big contract with this company.
Yeah, and she'd be fired immediately if this wasn't real.
And that's part of what's wrong with WWE is that you never, they have no looseness at all to do that stuff. But, hopefully, they're saying Fox wants to end the PG era, which I think is an extremely smart move.
Yeah.
That's a great way. Have SmackDown be like the more adult show. It's already like for smarky audience.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be like trash. We don't need like gold dust.
That's what I'm worried about.
Like wearing boobs. We don't need to like any. Just making it more adult is different than making it trash. So that's what I get nervous is that WWE's all right, cool, then let's like have a bunch of tits and let's, right? Like just go back to the Attitude Era. No, we could just make it. More, I would make it more violent, and I would make it more just adult, really. Like, make the drama harder, make it more violent, make it even scarier, you know? So the other thing is that she said she didn't like Becky made fun of her husband.
Yeah.
Right? But, so here's my thing. It's like, again, look, I'm sold on it because it's chaotic, right? And like, I'll look, you could beat me down with chaos, and then I get to a point where I go, this is crazy, I love it.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? Like, I just love it, it's crazy. But like, that's where I'm at. I'm at the point where I'm like, I like this because whatever, because it's just like completely unpredictable and fun. But Ronda's mad. Ronda's been getting everything she wants, right?
Yes.
She gave up the title to put Becky in the match. If she was like, I'm flipping because it's like, I'm sick of playing these games. But then now she's breaking all that and just saying wrestling is, you know, wrestling's fake. She's mad at the fans. But the fans haven't been booing her.
No.
Right? So yeah. I don't see any reason for her to be a bad guy yet. Why not turn her at Mania?
Yeah. And also, I mean, even if she's like, I'm a bad guy now, like, it doesn't really have to do anything with the fans. Like, just be like, you know, Becky thinks that because this is scripted, she can just say anything.
Right.
And you talk, but you bring my family into this, and now I'm going
to
get real.
They just did it for the heat, like, right, to sell tickets, because it's like just for Ronda to go viral, but they did it at the expense of the storytelling. Because Ronda was kind of in the sweet spot for the match, which she was in the Cena zone of like, and the Reigns spot, where it's like, we know she's great, she deserves to be there or whatever, but like, we're not vested in her story.
Right.
But like, she is the champion. Like, if she wins, everyone's like, well, that makes sense. She's extremely athletic and strong and worthy.
Yeah.
You know? But then you also have Charlotte there playing the same role. So they're like, whatever. I don't know. I'm a little confused on it. I would love a cash in if somebody can perfectly map. I saw Tulo posted a thing in the Facebook page that was like, here's how it went down. But then one line is just, it's Stephanie claims that this match is best for business. So that's the justification.
Yeah.
Why that match, Becky had to earn her spot again.
Yeah.
And that's where it lost me. But if someone can really sell me on Ronda, why she would turn, like, or show me a night that I missed where it really upset her, because the last time it happened was Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So I'm a little confused. But that being said, great work by Ronda. I really love it. The only thing I would say is that the problem with Ronda being a heel is, what really works about Ronda is authenticity, right? So now she's playing a character. Is that, you know, she is a big mark, a big fan, loves being there. She's cutting promos from a place of like, hey, I'm just learning to cut promos. This is not what I do. But aren't I great at this in the ring? And there's a likability there where I was giving her a pass. Well, now she's a heel and has to really get a negative crowd reaction as opposed to kind of a tepid, charisma-less reaction.
Yeah.
So her promo I fought on Raw, I didn't follow it.
Yeah, but I also think that she's probably more naturally a heel. I think she's...
You think so?
Yeah. She's, first of all...
Well, she has some heel tendencies because she's like a sore loser.
She's a sore loser. She's arrogant. She's, you know, I hate to say it, not the brightest bulb in the fucking lamp.
Yeah.
You know, on a number of issues. I think, yeah, there's a lot there that she's going to be able to, like, just become resentful.
Right. You know? Well, she grew up in Venice, right?
Did she?
Yeah, I think so. She's from here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that's another thing. She was healing off on L.A., just being like, it's a fake town.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, healing off on L.A.? That was like 4 months ago. You're still mad at L.A.? And she's like, people are like pretending to be Lakers fans and stuff. And you're like, wait, so your problem's with L.A.? You know what I'm saying? It's like, Vince came in, put Charlotte in. Now she has beef with L.A. She's mad because Becky because of her husband. It's like, none of this is clear. This is wrestling. Spell it out for me. It's a soap opera.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's right? Like, it's just a lot. Because then she said, so here's the thing. I was saying there were some subtle, I thought, racial issues or like underdog issues or in the Kofi thing. Maybe I'd like to hear other people's opinion on that, specifically people of color who are like feeling that moment. I also thought then she's also subtly touching the fact that on social media, and by the way, I love the social media stuff is better than anything that's happening on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like, Becky's clearer on social media than on TV, right? It's like, if it's just we're going to be trash talking and ripping each other apart, let's do it. But then Becky gets on the mic, Ronda gets on the mic, and they spout off. The only one who's clear is Charlotte. She's just going like, I'm the queen and I deserve it.
She has broken through to another level.
Right
now.
Well, like, does she look like $2 million, I want to say?
Yeah.
I mean,
at least $2.5 or $3 million. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah.
And then she's been doing this thing where, like, ever since the Rumble, the Women's Rumble.
Right. Well, she's yelling in the ring. I saw you love that.
Oh,
right?
My God. And because she's just so cocky.
Well, they're all more verbal now. You notice that, too? Seth had, like, a blatant curse.
In the ring. Yeah. But I just love, like, the way that she's consistent, like, her, it's just good character work. Like, the way that she's arrogant in the ring is the same way. Like, I know that, like, when she's, you know, confronted with somebody who she doesn't think is up to it, she's like, all right, let's see what you got.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you fucking tee off on me before I smack you back down again. It's just,
and she's like a monster. God, it's awesome.
Yeah,
but here's the thing, okay? So Charlotte, I really like what she's doing because her thing is just like, I'm great, aren't I? I know I got this opportunity, but I'm the queen, so who cares?
Right.
Good. It's kind of clear because she has nothing to do with it, really. But then, like, Becky comes in the ring and cuts a promo that I zone out on.
Yeah.
I mean, she hasn't cut one good promo in this lead-up. Now, that doesn't mean the lead-up has been bad. She just hasn't had, she's had cool moments, like all the crutches moments, the whole knee thing's really working, the crowd loves her, she got arrested, like, all that is great, but she hasn't had, like, a cut promo, because it's like, who is she cutting a promo at?
Yeah.
It's not her fault, it's so unfocused.
Yeah, I wonder.
But wait, I want to say, because then I'm saying, then Ronda gets in the ring, and she's saying, like, she's just going, like, I'm here to expose the carny con artists that are like Becky and Charlotte. It's like, oh, so your storyline is taking down the sport of pro wrestling? Like, the whole thing is all over the place, no?
Yeah, and I think here's why. This just occurred to me. I think their story was probably, I think that it was more linear and simple maybe a month ago or 2 months ago.
Right.
And then they realized, fuck, we have like 90 days to like fill.
Right.
And their only thing they could think of was, okay, well, let's, you know, try to make it, we have to do something. And then everything they did just added a new wrinkle.
Yeah, but all they had to really do.
Right. It was their mistake. Right. They made a mistake.
Is not have Charlotte involved.
Right.
And then, okay, but even if you want to have Charlotte involved, find a really like a slicker way to do it. Mm-hmm. Right. And then just have Ronda just like roll, I don't know, rolling through opponents like she has been doing, just being like, I want Becky, I want Becky, or not showing up. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know what? I don't know exactly the booking. I'm not going to pretend like here's what it is. I know it's complicated, but I know this is all over the place.
Yeah.
This feels like they're just throwing shit at the fan. Like, they got a couple weeks to do it. But I just want to say the big problem here is that the big problem in pro wrestling right now is very simple. We don't have like any promo people.
Yeah.
I mean, no one, like, you compare, I love Seth Rollins. I'm a big Seth Rollins mark. I probably have more Seth Rollins shirts than any wrestler right now. And it's probably tied between him and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, compare him to even Shawn Michaels. Like, there's, like, if a casual fan turned on the TV, you think they'd be like, oh, this guy's cool?
No.
They'll be like, oh, all right, this is the guy?
Yeah.
Like, because no one does anything fun or edgy or cool or anything.
Yeah.
So I get into Rollins' amazing moments in ring, and when he starts just, like, screaming, burn it down, and when he starts screaming, like, I get into it. But, I mean, Daniel Bryan is the what I'm tuning in for.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just, really, the promo work is so fucking low, and what really made me realize it was, it's sad to say it, is Roman Reigns being back. Yeah. And look, this is completely separate from his illness. I'm so excited the guy is back. I cannot even believe how quickly he beat this thing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He really is like a superhero. It's amazing. The guy is a stud. He looks amazing. He's clearly a hard worker.
Yeah, can I say something before you finish your thought?
Before I get to my butt?
If you think, finish your thought.
No, but I know, before I get to my big but.
Yeah. I like that. But if you think that Roman Reigns' leukemia is a work or that they're exaggerating it in some way, I want you to do me a favor. Stop watching wrestling for a while.
Yeah.
You are lost in the sauce.
Yeah. Who thinks that?
There are plenty of people who are like, they're like, you're telling me that Roman Reigns can beat cancer in 5 months, but Jason Jordan is still out? These are real serious people who are serious.
You got to get off the social media. Because these people, if someone wrote that, it doesn't even register to me.
Agreed. No, but it's a lot of people. Although I
did see some comments on like some Michael Jackson videos where I was just like, wow. Yeah. Like,
here's the thing.
Even if you doubt these guys, this response is inappropriate. Yeah,
because social media is a place for people to say things that if they were to say them aloud in a conversation, they would get laughed at in their face. So they would never dare express that opinion in real life. But they type it out. You know what I mean? Like, nobody in their right mind would, in a real conversation, be like, yeah, I think Roman didn't really have cancer.
Well, there's also the second part to that, which is like, yes, that is what it is. And then to go more into nuance of it is social media has given the voice to the voiceless, right?
Yeah.
In a negative way.
Right.
Where there's a natural order where you're standing around in a conversation and there's an unspoken hierarchy, right? Where you're like, all right, like Todd's talking and everyone's like subconsciously scanning Todd to be like, is Todd a guy who I want to hear from?
Yeah.
Is this guy has valid opinions? Is this guy like a stand-up guy? Is this someone who has my respect?
Right.
It's a respect radar, right? And you're just going, yeah, I'll listen to what Todd has to say. He's smart, but this.
And because it's your subconscious, it's like instantaneous.
Right.
All of this, without even you knowing it, you're making these assessments.
Right. And so you could see it by when you're in a circle and someone starts talking over the guy who's already talking, and you're like, oh, he doesn't respect Todd.
Yeah.
He doesn't respect, right? So there's a whole sub conversation happening where then, like, so the people who troll on the internet aren't even Todd. They're people who can't even get near the circle.
Right.
People don't even want them near this. Yeah. If these people come near the circle somehow dissipates.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to pee all of a sudden.
Yeah,
get a drink. Hey, you know what? I got to find Lisa. I haven't seen Lisa in a while.
Yes.
My date. You know, she gets upset when I leave. She gets upset when I leave her alone. The conversation's gone. And those are the people on there. They got full paragraphs. Yeah. They write essays.
You're so right. Yes, exactly. That's exactly my point.
You know what I'm saying? You're like, now, a lot of times that works shitty where, especially when you're younger and you're in like high school and stuff.
Right.
And or to be honest, when you're younger, when you're in a fucking office.
Right.
And it's like, oh, he's the boss, whatever the fuck. That's why I always hated job, like corporate structure where it's like, he's the boss, so I got to let him talk. It's like, I don't respect him. I've never respected anyone.
Never.
that I've worked for. That's the problem.
Never respected anybody.
Not even in a malicious way. Right. Not a malicious way where I'm like, oh, this guy's an asshole. I got actually no problem with him. It's just that I don't respect your profession. I don't respect what you've chosen to do with your life. Like, and respect meaning, like, I respect you in the sense that you're like a good person and that's all good. But you don't inspire me, and I'm a person who seeks inspiration, admiration, passion. Those are things I'm looking for. And you're right. Which is why my whole life, comedians were always my heroes.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, like, they ask you, like, what do you want to do for a living when you're a kid? Like, and I always write, like, comedian, because I was like, these guys are, like, because they're, like, free. No one else is free.
Yeah,
you know, like,
you're right.
They say what they want. And now we're not free.
Yeah.
Not free to say whatever you want. Now we have the shackles of office structure. No, but I mean, like, when you're in high school, if you see the movie Eighth Grade, which is a movie I recommend highly, fantastic movie, that when kids are shitty, they can't handle it. And then they start applying another layer of judgment, which is not based on talent, skill, or anything. It's like popularity,
right?
Like parental wealth, whatever. And then that's why being a kid is so fucking hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, not to derail this too much, but yeah, there are people out there, people who aren't fit to shine my shoes in a conversation,
right?
Who think that this is fake. Fucking, you're lost in the sauce. Stop watching for a while. Go watch basketball or something. I don't know.
Okay. The point is this, is that, If it was me and Roman Reigns, if I was standing around with the Shield, we're having a conversation, and Roman started talking, I might cut him off. See, the thing with Roman Reigns is he's
Dean walks. Dean walks over, and you're like, oh, where's Jamie at? I gotta go find
Dean. Comes, I'm like, you know, I would not get along with Dean at all. I wouldn't get along with any of the Shield, really. I actually don't think... I love Seth Rollins. He's one of my favorite wrestlers, maybe of all time. He's had my favorite match of all time because he joined it for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I guess Roman Reigns is in the match, technically. But I don't even think I would get along with Seth Rollins.
No, if I'm being honest, the only wrestler ever to exist that I would get along with is probably like fucking R-Truth.
Yeah,
I'd
like, probably like, get along with like Road Dogg.
Yeah, right? Like, who am I? Yeah.
Like, who, like,
Viscera.
Who would I get along with? Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's a short list.
Right.
Maybe,
No, I get along with, I know I've
New
talked
Day.
To, I would get Tyler along with, Breeze.
Yeah.
I probably get along with all the New Day guys. You're right.
Yeah. But everyone else, yeah, like,
And Ziggler.
Yeah.
I love Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
My actual friend.
Everyone else, we're standing around talking. You come up. I'm going to start thinking about maybe we'll go try one of those cookies at the snack
at
table.
The snack bar.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, so, point's like, Roman Reigns, the guy. I mean, I'm sorry. I zone out when he's on the microphone. Yeah. He is a boring dude. Like, he gets on the microphone. He's like, what's up, y'all? Like, I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
I actually love the guy as a wrestler, and I stick to the fact that he looks like the guy to beat. And I hate this sports reference, but he feels like the best power forward in the league. Right. You know what I mean? Like, that spot where he can wrestle a guy like Braun or Rey Mysterio. Like, you know, his size. He's like... He weighs like, you know, like he's like 230 or whatever, and he's a gorgeous man. I see why he's the face of the company. But please, like, I'm like, when he just opened the show with the Shield and like Seth, I'm like, Seth's on his run right now. This is extremely important. Keep Roman away from Seth.
Yeah.
And Roman gets the mic first and is like, all right, now I'm going to hand it off to Seth. And you're like, Seth doesn't fucking need you to hand him the microphone. I'm sorry. Like, you don't. Keep them separate. Roman Reigns belongs in WWE. Belongs at a top spot. But I'm saying across the board, the charisma level of these wrestlers are low. Now, that being said, it's interesting that I'm pumped for every match at Mania because the wrestling has never been better.
Right.
The match at Fastlane, KO Mustafa Ali versus Daniel Bryan, was as good as any fucking indie match. That was a, I don't care. That for me, that was a 5-6-star match. I was vested in that. I thought that match was fucking amazing. Yeah. There was a spot, Kevin Owens, who's an amazing wrestler. And by the way, he might be the best mic guy in the whole company. Mm-hmm. So Kevin Owens maybe is the exception, but it's crazy to think that Kevin Owens is the top mic guy WWE.
What about Drew McIntyre?
He's good on the mic, but again, he does have like a boring feel to him. No one's alive.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
No one brings anything close to a rock energy. Like,
you know who does, I think?
Who?
Adam Cole.
I haven't seen enough Adam Cole. I mean, I've seen him but we yet to see Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Who has this energy I'm talking about? Like, you know, I mean, I. Who?
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 I don't know. I got to think about it. I honestly don't. It's like, oh, all right. Here's what I'm saying. When John Cena shows up and he gets on the microphone, you feel the difference.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's on another level than the rest of these guys.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of insane. So Rollins comes out. He's their top guy. He's maybe my favorite guy. And then when he gets on the microphone, he's just, it's kind of like generic good guy stuff.
Yeah.
Even though I'm kind of into it, the best guy on the microphone is Paul Heyman.
Oh yeah,
but that's another thing.
But that's also one of those things where it's like different category.
Right.
It's like you can't even rank him. He's an outlier.
Yeah, right. So anyway, Kevin Owens had that spot in that match. He flipped out. He did a flip over the top rope, but one of those where you like a guided flip, like where you hold the rope onto Eric Rowan. But he overshot. Like Eric Rowan didn't catch him.
Yeah.
He hit Eric Rowan, but he didn't stop. He didn't fall on top of him. He hit him and then slid off the back of him forward, so he overshot it and then fell in between the two announce tables.
Yeah.
Where if he was like a couple inches to the left or right,
dead.
He would have been like, maybe dead, honestly. Yeah. Like,
he's 270 pounds.
It wasn't rigged to break that night, right?
He's flipping, so there's the velocity of that. It would have broken his neck easily.
But so instead, this is testament to how great Kevin Owens is. He almost has like a near-death experience, but he avoids it, and he gets right up, starts slamming the table. Be like, yeah, fuck yeah! Like, just getting heat immediately.
Yeah.
It's amazing these wrestlers are like, they're not even fazed by the fact that they almost got, they're in a state of I constantly am dead or going to be hurt.
Right. Well, it is it's a flow state
Miz,
that they're in.
Miz is the best mic guy in the company.
Best wrestler. Best mic. Best...
Mike wrestler. Wrestler with the mic. Yeah, Miz. But he, right? It is Miz.
Yeah.
Miz is fantastic.
But even
at
then, even the Miz is still playing a character. Mm. Like, I don't feel like I'm getting genuine Mike Mizanin
right.
coming through. It's still, which is fine, but right. there is still that half of a layer of like, this is the Miz talking.
And
here.
Triple H is the other best mic guy in the company, but we're talking about like, these younger guys should be better.
Right.
I don't know. The mic, it's like, I don't know what it is, but it's across the board. You're like, why am I not into these segments? It's like, oh, they're not selling me on the microphone, but they're selling me on the booking is great. In terms of moments, sometimes it's inconsistent and it's sloppy, but the booking has been pretty fucking great, and the matches are really high, so good. So there's some good stuff happening. Dana Brooke came out. We were talking about her, and she challenged Rousey, and then Rousey was Dana Brooke was getting "Who are you?" chants.
Yeah,
she got no heat. She was really emotional for, like, no reason. And then Ronda was going to give her the armbar, and then she was like, no, you pay $60 and I'll give you an armbar. What did that mean?
I think
because
that's a thing.
UFC pay-per-views are $60?
It may be that. It
What's
may be
$60?
That. I think...
they paid to be at the show.
No, I know, but I think that there's a thing where it's like... I think people ask Ronda Rousey to put them in armbars a lot. And I think it's like, yeah, okay, fine. You pay me $60 and I'll do it. Because like, if you go back, there's a lot of videos right. of her like when she was like the champ.
Right.
And it's like different people like trying to, it's, I think, but it's probably that what right. you just said.
Well, anyway, Batista's unclear. Back.
Yeah.
So talk about looking like $1 million. Batista looks like $1 million.
Yeah.
I love the jacket he was wearing. That is wrestling.
Yeah.
That. Take notes, fellas.
Yeah.
That is wrestling.
I also think the next time he comes back, I think he's going to do a couple more segments before Mania.
Yeah.
He'll be better on the mic. I think he was just nervous for this one. He's clearly a better actor than he was, and I think he just got nervous.
Well, the thing about Batista, he really is like a baby face. He's really, you could tell, he's like a fucking sweet guy, man. Like, yeah. He gets out there and like, he's like really, he seems really like, you see it, as an actor, like you see,
he's got kind eyes.
He's kind, yeah. Like he's very like affected. He's really soft. Like I feel like when he gets out there, he really feels it. Like I could get up in front of, you know this. Would you tell me if you think I'm not true, and if I just am not understanding the magnitude?
Yeah.
But I think I could get out in front of the WrestleMania crowd with the mic and be as calm as I'm going out here.
I mean, like it's okay. I want to say
what would happen is if I messed up. I would really beat myself up after,
right?
And then I think you should have been calm. You should have been nervous,
right? Yeah, I think it's weird because I think you would be fine, but then also like 100,000 people is a lot of people,
yeah.
And you don't know. I can't even fathom what that kind of focused attention feels like,
right?
If there's 100,000 people looking at you,
right?
It could be freaky. And, yeah, you know,
maybe I'm just underestimating it.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
That's more people than will ever look at you in your entire life.
Yeah,
like maybe even like individually.
Right?
Like, will you meet 100,000 people in your life? Who knows?
I think exactly. I think when I meet the 100,000th person, I dropped it. That's what I think. But anyway, Batista looked like $1 million.
Yeah.
He looks great. Cut a pretty bad promo, but he was really. Stilted. And then Triple H had the line. He came out with a bunch of development talent.
Yeah.
And then
Guardians of the Indie scene.
He called them the Guardians of the Indians, the Indie scene, yeah. Right?
You almost said the Indian.
I almost said Indian, which I was going to go back into that. I don't want to go back into that again.
No.
But the main thing here is they're saying, give me what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Batista, he wants Triple H or Mania. We set up the match. But why does he want to beat up Triple H?
He wants to go out on his terms. He wants to be able to have one more match.
Right.
So that he can retire on his terms and also retire Triple H on his terms. So I think that's where it gets sweaty to me is right. I don't know why. I get like, it's almost like, if he had come out as a baby face and was like, give me what I want, one more match so that I can leave here
right.
on top, then that's one thing. Where it gets sweaty to me is him being like, and I want to end your career. Why? Like, what did... What did Triple H do to
what
you?
What is their problem with each other?
Yeah.
Right? That's the thing. It's like, and honestly, truthfully, I'm not going to give WWE any shit here because it's like, who cares? Triple H versus Batista?
Fine.
Like, whatever. But he could just be like, they're already breaking it. They're saying like, they're breaking kayfabe completely, right?
Yeah.
So why doesn't he just say like, I don't like when you brought me back as a good guy, right? Like, yeah. like you tried to, like, I don't like, you guys tried to tank my last run here or something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
And like, I came back here to like, come back and retire on my own terms. There's so much, I bet that was on the page.
Right.
I think that was.
Yeah.
Right? And then they got caught up in the give me what I want thing. You know what I mean? But, all right, cool, whatever. I'll watch the fuck out of that match.
Yeah. And I've said it before on the pod that this is the type of match that Triple H should be in.
Right.
You know, it shouldn't be Triple H versus Seth.
Yeah, absolutely. He doesn't need to wrestle all the Shield.
Right, yeah.
All right, speaking of the Shield, so, man. So is Ambrose really leaving?
I don't know.
I got to tell you, I might be in the work zone here because I don't know if that's work or not. Because what match are they setting up?
They're not, right? Are they setting up anything?
And they're literally saying this is like the end of the Shield. I got to tell you, I'm getting worked here. Yeah. I think he might be leaving.
I'm wondering if somebody's going to...
Because he is also losing every match.
Right.
But that might just be WWE being super slick.
Yeah.
But he can't be happy with his booking. Like, right?
Yeah, but where would he...
AEW.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. Or Ring of Honor or whatever. Like, the truth is Dean Ambrose, the reason I believe it to be true is that I think it's a good move for him.
Yeah.
I think Dean Ambrose, outside of WWE, will...
Here's the vibe I don't get from Dean Ambrose. I don't get the vibe that he's somebody who is like, I'm not being, like, this isn't hard enough on me.
Right.
I need to be doing crazier spots. I need to be, you know, in more matches. I need to be on the road more. I don't get that vibe from him. I think I get a very complacent vibe. It feels like he would rather be... he would rather be in a comfortable position at WWE
right.
than having to now scrap and scrape for some indie promoter, like a Ring of Honor or, I don't know. I don't know. I know that he styles himself as like a guy who's like, you know, he used to do death matches and like, he's like,
right.
Can't be fatigued. But as a person, he just strikes me as somebody who'd be fine with his booking.
All right, I got a positive Dean Ambrose cash in. Right. You want to hear it?
Hey, Cow Nation, what's going on? This is Braddy Mac, the producer, Jabroniak, and I just finished up watching Fastlane, and I got two observations. Quickly, Shield member Dean Ambrose, great attention to detail. He did not have his black jacket, his SWAT gear on, because he burnt it several weeks earlier. So I like that little nod and that little continuity by the WWE or by Ambrose himself. Great attention to detail. Regarding the women's match between Becky and Flair with Ronda interfering, the way that went down, I feel it would have been better that it was actually for the title. It should have been Becky, Flair for the title. And then Ronda comes in and interferes, and they have to throw the whole thing out. And then for the next month, each superstar would have had a different claim to the title. And even the announcers could have been going, at WrestleMania for the women's title, it'll be Becky Lynch, who won the Rumble. It would be Flair, who had her hands on the title. And Ronda Rousey, who never lost it, going for the belt, and there's going to be a champion declared at WrestleMania. This whole episode will be resolved.
Dude, you're right. The whole thing is a mess. What you're saying is something that makes sense. They're not trying to make sense, which is kind of like... Kind of the beauty of it, I guess, is that it's kind of just like when that match happens, everyone's already psyched for it. So why not just have him go nuts. Did Becky say it's the main event? Did you see that?
No.
I wonder if that slipped. She was like, we're going to main event. But I guess they call so many things the main event now that you're like, I don't know if it actually is a main event. But yeah, I mean, I think that's cool. By the way, we have a cash in live at Fastlane.
All right.
We got.
What's up, Jabroni? Yes, I'm here at Fastlane live. Kofi just came out, announced a triple threat match for the WWE Championship. Ugh, I got Mark, tragic. The motherfucking Mark, right here next to me to my right. This crowd is hot in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, cheers the fuck up, brothers. I love wrestling and I love this podcast. All right, James Cardarelli signing off.
A cheers up almost at the end there. Yeah. That was great. By the way, joining us in studio again, Sarah Claspel. While we were doing this pod, I texted her because we're doing the Jumanji F, and I know she loves Jumanji. Drove over here.
Yeah.
We're going to do Jumanji Patreon up.
I wouldn't miss it for anything.
And you also watched Fastlane?
I did. I watched Fastlane.
And you were texting me, why is the championship, what'd you say?
Yeah, why is the championship belt made of wood?
Oh. Made of wood is what you said. Made of wood.
Uh-huh. It's sustainable.
Yeah, it's a sustainable, eco-friendly hemp championship title.
That is the funniest thing in the whole world.
It's wonderful. The best.
I love it so much.
It's so good.
I also did want to say, watching that match, I got really mad at the whole Kofi thing.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about it.
You got worked up about it.
Yeah.
Because Vince McMahon fucked him over.
Totally.
And you didn't like it.
Totally fucked over. And then he was beat up by two dudes.
Yeah.
That made me so mad.
So what about what'd you think of the Ronda Rousey interference?
I mean, that was out of the blue, but...
See, it's not clear to the casual viewer. It's clear. Rousey came out of Fastlane, punched Becky, by the way, it's also not like surprising booking. It's right. She punched Becky. So Charlotte gets disqualified. Becky wins. Nice. By the way, this fucking iWatch.
Okay, which you keep saying you're going to get rid of it, and you never get rid of it.
I forget to put it on airplane mode all the time. I had an audition where it started going off.
Telling you haven't finished your circles yet?
Oh my God, the circles. I figured out how to turn the circles off, but now I get like calls through it. And sometimes I press accept on here thinking it's going to go through my phone, and then it's just like, hello, it's my mom. Like
on
right
your
on the
watch?
Audibly
like Dick Tracy?
On my watch. It's being like, Daniel, like, hello? Hello, are you there? Like, and I'm like, what the fuck? This watch is a piece of shit.
Dick Tracy
watch. It's too much functionality. It's too much functionality. Anyway, back to the truck. Trump voice. Sarah comes in. The Trump voice is coming back. Coming at you, everybody. Sexy boy on the fives. 316. All right. None of it is clear.
No.
But it's like, so Ronda punched Becky. What's her logic for that?
She wants, I think it's just because she wants to beat her up because she made fun of her husband, I guess.
No. She did it to DQ.
Uh-huh.
Her logic is, I want Becky in that match.
That's what I mean, yeah.
But it's very shitty to be like, this person has a broken foot or something. Right. Is that real or not? I mean, it doesn't look like it is.
No, it's a word.
Okay, but still, it is very much like, this person's injured? Well, I want to fight them. That's so...
Well, her logic for doing, now she's a bad guy, which was also kind of unclear.
Which we know, she came out dressed in all black, so that's how we know she's bad.
Obviously.
Yeah. by the way, I just want to say, just to clarify, I love Ronda Rousey so much. I think she's so fucking good.
Yeah.
She is, some people are stars and some are not. And she is a star, whether you like it or not. You know what I mean? So she's one of those people, she can't really do any wrong by me. I just don't know why they've overcomplicated it. She's the best female actual fighter, arguably, of all time, whatever. So, and that's it. She's the champion.
I think it's because this is the first time in, when did WWE start? 1975?
Right.
First time since their inception that they've had to take writing for women seriously, and they don't know how to do it because it's the first time they've ever tried.
Speaking of taking things seriously, I think we gotta listen to this cash just based on the name of it alone.
Hey, this is Andrew from Albuquerque, New Mexico, cashing in for the first time.
Nice, cheers up.
Land of enchantment.
It's about like 1-2 o'clock here in New Mexico, and In an argument with my friend about merch, when is the right time to cut cut the sleeves off your merch and turned it into a gym t-shirt. He was telling me it was sacrilegious. And I have a Dean Ambrose shirt that I got when the Shield first broke up in like 2015. And we were working out and he was like, dude, why did you cut up your shirt? So, and it was all nasty and crunchy. And so I just wanted to get your guys' opinion. When, if and when is the right time to turn your like WWE official merchandise t-shirt into like a muscle shirt, gym t-shirt?
Great question. All
right, thanks. Cheers up.
Yeah. Cheers up. Yo, cheers. I what gotta say, that is my new favorite cash-in.
Yeah.
That is my new favorite cash-in. I love it. Yo, I love it. I love that you're fighting with your friend about merch. That's all I do with my friends. We've done on this podcast, argue about merch. Now, man, if you check out the Facebook page, Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page, talk about wrestling at
4 in the morning.
Under his eye, blessed be the fruit. Me and my wife, I took one of my Seth Rollins shirts and I cut the sleeves off and I did it in the dark while watching Suspiria.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't care that much
about
this
shirt.
Jamie's
like, Dan, are you watching? Yeah.
I'm cutting up a shirt.
Doing crafts.
Yeah. And then I put it on. She's like, I can basically see your nipples. It looks terrible.
Was it like a real deep?
Yeah. I cut it way too deep. Maybe I'll wear it to the gym tomorrow, Sarah, and you'll be like, you could judge if it's terrible.
I hope to see your nipples. I tell you what.
Well, my nips are covered unless I do any movement.
Right. I like how sometimes it'll happen to Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
Like, his one nipple will come out of like the top, and it, like, I guess it's cold in there, so his hard nipple will just enough to hold his like tank top there.
Yeah,
it's like
a little tiny hand that's just holding onto the shirt.
His nip was just on display when he was beating up Colin Jost.
Yeah. Nips out.
So when is it appropriate to do that?
Right away.
Sleeves? Listen.
Yeah.
So I will say this. I have a couple thoughts here. One thing is that I'm really hesitant about cutting my shirts.
Sure.
Especially after this incident. But when I've done it delicately, I've done a nice job on it. Like, it's turned out okay, especially because you can check out Jabroniac. Jack Mills posted a video in their Facebook page on how to properly cut your shirt to make a gym tee. But I think it's just preference. Like, I think a shirt probably does lose value technically if it had any value, if you cut off the sleeves.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. However you would wear it more, that's how you should do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And some shirts, if you're not wearing them, some merch, you're like, I don't favor that merch. If you chop off the sleeves, it might get in your rotation and get some use.
I'm not a person to cut sleeves off of shirts.
Right.
But first off, I have a 100 questions about, like, you've got to cut off your sleeves to go to the gym in that shirt?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, you got to show the guns off,
Sarah,
man.
Come on.
Okay. I mean, that's
Sun's
fine.
Sun's out, guns out. Okay,
I wear tank tops to the gym.
You're a woman. The thing with
you can't wear sleeves at the gym.
No,
you gotta cover your shoulders.
Well, it restricts.
I mostly wear sleeves at the gym. You see me at the gym most days. I mainly rock sleeves. Mainly a sweatiness issue. I find that if I'm not, I get too slippery.
And it's nice to like use
options.
I like a sleeve because you can wipe your forehead when it's all sweaty.
Oh yeah.
I just use my hairy arm.
Oh yeah. I just use the person next to me shirt.
Uh-huh.
But I and they're always like, well, you know, it gets weird, but people are not confrontational out here, so it works out. But I'll say,
you're like, shut up, freak.
yeah, freak. but I'm saying, it's Paige. I work out with Paige. But no. Women have a lot of sleeveless options.
Yeah.
Like women, it's very natural for a lot of women's clothing to be a tank top. So when men go sleeveless, it feels big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And by the way, if it doesn't feel big, you have a problem. If you're wearing, if you just like sleeveless, my wife.
I say go for it. Live your life.
Like, yeah.
Show go those guns. I think you should wear more tank tops just in the real
to the
world.
Gym?
Yeah, to the gym.
So, Sarah, you go to the
restaurant?
Gym with me every day. This is great. This is a great resource. My gym mate, Sarah.
Dan is just trying to prove that he goes to the gym every day, but it is true. He
cat's
does.
Out of the bag. I've been training really hard because I'm wrestling at Calmania. I'm wrestling in a couple weeks.
Oh yeah, you told
me. So I might not be back in the gym, but I'll say this: is that all right? Do you remember times at the gym where I'm wearing no sleeves?
Maybe. I mean, I can picture
I've
you.
I've done it a couple times, yeah. And sometimes it's just like when I'm in a rush and sure. I know where the sleeves are.
But I'm never like, ooh, Dan.
It doesn't feel like a big move?
No.
It doesn't feel... if a man wears sleeveless shirt to the gym, it doesn't feel like any kind of posturing? you know what I'm saying? Like, does it feel like a move?
No. You know what does feel like posturing is if you are wearing sleeveless, but you like cut your shirt so much, yes, that your like nips are hanging out, that like I can see your abs.
Right.
But I'd say that for men and for women.
But women have so many workout options. Like, you can wear like the, you know, you can even rock a sports bra and that's not weird at all.
Sure. I would never, but yeah.
Yeah.
Cover my body.
Right. But I'm saying like people like, there's women in our gym who like wear like they're going to the ring.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they're going to like Fox. Yeah. They're dressed like that. So, but a dude, if I worked out like shirtless, that would be like, what are you doing?
Do you guys, because I, what I wear to the gym is I have some workout clothes that I've bought and some that I've like gotten for Christmas, but most of what I wear is like old shirts. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'll buy pants and then it's like, here's a musical I was in high school. Right. And I'm going to wear that.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
It's a personal touch.
It's, I mean, it's not that I'm trying to show up.
All your gym clothes should tell a story about you. All right. We'll save this for the bonus app when you're here, Sarah. I want to blow through a couple more things before we forget to it because there's a lot to cover here. So, and I don't want to miss stuff. So, Alexa Bliss is hosting WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I kind of like this new version of Bliss they're going for, where she's like a little trashier.
No.
I think it's kind of fun.
She's a little bit more from Ohio.
She's going nuts
for her.
He's so hot for Alexa. It's hilarious. I think it's funny.
Yeah, it is.
It's not swampy. It's just funny.
No, I know. It's funny.
Bobby Lashley won the IC title again, which is interesting.
Strange.
I actually expected it because I think what they're going to do, I think a cool thing I would do is have the monster match for the IC title. Mm-hmm. Just have like Drew, Lashley, Strowman, like throw all the big dudes in there and just have the ring break.
Yeah.
Like something like that.
Yeah. I mean, but I liked it on Balor.
I know, but what's the match for Balor?
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a match.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I couldn't think of it. So I don't know. We'll see where this goes. The match might just be Lashley Finn and he wins it back. Lashley Finn, look, I won't be excited about it, but, It'll
happen.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It certainly will happen.
Kurt Angle announced his retirement.
Yeah, I got a little emotional.
I thought that was pretty cool. What his match gonna be? Maybe it's the IC title. Maybe Lashley. That'd be a cool match, right?
Yeah.
It's like you can either win the IC title and keep going, or lose to Lashley.
Yeah.
That might be cool. I would get into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why didn't they just do Finn? Even though he's a good guy, it's a retirement match. Have Finn be the guy to retire you?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, they have a retirement match for Angle. So this is like a good... I mean, this is a good match.
Maybe it'll be somebody like out of the blue. Like somebody is going to get called up or somebody's going to be...
Someone should have beat the shit out of him.
EC3 or something.
Right?
I don't know where the fuck that guy's been.
I think he's had like one match.
Yeah.
This is probably not what happens, but I feel like when you retire, you should be able to beat up every single person.
No, it's the
like,
opposite.
Here's a match.
Yeah, the
it's
opposite
70
happens.
People.
No, they old yell at you. They take you out back.
They're like, you're retiring. We're going to kill you.
That's what they should do, but it's not what they do. Maybe the match is Finn, and they're just like, why have the title involved here?
All right, yeah.
I don't know. Well, we'll see where that goes, but that was really cool. I love a retirement match at Mania. I'm a sucker for it. See the flare well, baby. Check it out. It's,
so here I am.
This is a flare retirement song. And then he came back to wrestling, and
he was
back last week. It's Fuel.
Secondhand serenade or some bullshit.
All right. I don't have anything to say about Shane. I already said enough about Shane. And all right. I have two more things to talk about. Then we'll head to talk about, three more things.
Oh, I have a question. This is so random. Is the Miz's mom okay? Because she's not been involved in any of these storylines.
I think his parents are divorced. So I think it's more like his dad.
This must have been recently then. Because they were together.
Oh, I don't know.
In like a
nah, she just doesn't want to be on the camera, probably. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I hope so.
Yeah. I hope so too. If you could watch out, Miz and Maurice, what's the show? Miz and
Mrs.
Miz
and Mrs. Yeah.
All right. Here's the two things I want to talk about. Three. four. No, three. All right, Paul Heyman came out. Listen, I don't need any more video packages about why Brock Lesnar is good or what he's done. Look, I am a big defender of Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. I think he feels like championship material. But we can't get a little, they can't work into his contract a little more. We can't see him like even in the kitchen.
Right.
Right. Like we can't see him at, even on an iPhone. We can't see him just being like, yo, I'll be there when I'm there. I'm just making steak with my kids. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
We can't even see that.
Eating, fishing with Sable.
Right.
Yeah.
He can't do anything, or he can't be, show his UFC training.
Right.
Like current stuff, not just like his past accolades.
Yeah, I don't know.
That makes me like annoyed. So why not do that? Why not work it in that he's training for UFC? He doesn't even think about Seth. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Seth went with the I'm the best little guy. That seems to be the storyline they're going, which is like, I'm the best little guy, and Lesnar has problems with little guys.
Is Seth Rollins even a little guy?
He compared himself to Daniel Bryan and Finn, and I'm like, you're a lot bigger than those guys.
No, you're 6 foot two.
Yeah, Seth's not small to me.
220 pounds. He's huge.
He's big.
Yeah.
When he stands like the Lesnar, he looks like smaller,
yeah,
but not wait. He's not shorter.
Yeah,
he's like maybe an inch shorter.
He's built like a fucking wide.
Finn is like 150 pounds smaller.
Yeah, he's built like a linebacker.
Right.
I just googled a picture of Brock Lesnar. Is he like 700 pounds?
Yeah,
he weighs in when he fights in UFC. He weighs in at 265, and that's cutting weight. He walks around at 300 pounds.
I mean, he looks like a wall.
He is 300 pounds of like pure muscle.
That is nuts.
It's crazy.
No thanks.
He's a big problem for wrestling because none of these guys look like him. So it's like they're supposed to wrestle him. Like, how do you have Kevin Owens wrestle Brock Lesnar? No. It's like ridiculous.
Strowman is like the only Drew McIntyre, right. Bobby Lashley. These guys are also enormous.
But yeah, I'm just saying, like, he's not there, and then Shelton Benjamin is wrestling
for
him.
What the fuck?
Because they were college roommates.
Oh,
Shelton Benjamin and Brock Lesnar are college roommates.
Is that true?
Yeah, they wrestled on the team together. He brought him in with him. Yeah, it's true. But they didn't say that, and you don't know that.
I
know that because I'm just an idiot. Rick Shay and Alistair, keep doing what you're doing. These guys are so good that they can do no wrong.
Yeah, and
every
time
Alistair comes out, I mark out for the...
It's the best theme song in wrestling.
I listen to this song all the time.
This is the closest. This is like the music I listen to normally.
Coming at you on Rock 102. We got Weather on the Nines. I have nothing. I've not gotten good at that. I don't know why I do it.
But you'll never stop?
I will never stop. And here's the last thing I want to talk about for the rest of my life. Okay? I'm about to end it all. How good is Orton versus AJ turning out?
Yeah.
That's a bummer there's no title involved.
Yeah,
I mean,
they must be close friends and like really want to like make this fun.
I don't think they're friends.
I think they're friends.
Well, I think they're
the same person.
Yeah.
They're friends.
Yeah.
They bitch about Black Lives Matter to each other. They talk about how much they love cops. They're best friends.
I just want to say that the simplicity of beef can happen, which is just like, Orton, they had one. Listen to how simple this is, but it makes sense. They went in the back, and Orton just like threw a jab at him while walking by him. That's it, right? I was talking to my buddy Vince Averill the other day. We were at a party, and we were talking about wrestling, and he was like talking about a feud that started with two guys who were walking down the ring at the same time, and they just bumped shoulders.
Yeah,
like that. Truthfully,
it's enough.
That's all you need. It just has to feel right. That's how you bar fights happen like that, right?
Yeah.
So that can happen in wrestling, right? So
that's like actual contact,
right? Orton walked by AJ and was like, "Oh, no wonder it took you 15 years to get here." Yeah. And then he RKO'd AJ out of nowhere or whatever, and then AJ hit him with the phenomenal forearm, and then now he's like, the house that AJ Styles built, that rubs him the wrong way when he thinks about it. He's like, You just got here, bro.
Yeah.
How could you? So that's all we needed. It's great.
What did he say? Working on his tan, hanging out with Dixie Carter.
Yeah, that was great. And Orton, somebody said in the face page that Orton feels like fired up and ready to go. This is the most motivated. That's the most life I've seen out of him.
Yeah.
It's one of the better promos of the week. If Randy Orton is cutting like one of the best promos of the week, there's a problem happening on the microphone. When it comes to the microphone, Randy Orton, Jabron Zone.
Man, mostly, yeah. Historically,
the Jabron Zone. But anyway, you guys heard it here second. That's everything I was going to cover this week. And like, look, this is a big week on the podcast here. We are celebrating. It is confirmed. Saturday, April 6th, 4 p.m. at the Improv Asylum Theater in New York City. Tickets on sale right now. They're probably going to go even faster now. Dolph Ziggler will be in the house. Other special guests that I will be announcing as we go along will be in the house. There's going to be surprises in the show that I don't even know about right now. There's surprises to me. But most importantly, the Cow title will be on the line. Adam Letterman will be wrestling me for the Cow Heavyweight Championship. You heard it here today at Cowmania. We backed him against the wall. Thank you to Skylar Astin for donating his attorney's time and the Patreon for, I put a little bit of the Patreon cash in, which helped us out a lot, and I've got my title shot and I'm ready. Check out my Instagram at Dan Black Attack. I'm going to be posting all my conditioning videos to show you where I'm at. I've already started. Sarah knows about it. She sees it every day.
I can confirm that Dan is swole as hell.
Hell yeah. I'm ready. He's ready for a guy.
He's yoked and it's no joke.
For the guy who comes on this podcast and says that he loves asbestos because it makes him money, that's a guy you got to train for. This is a guy who was willing to go anywhere, and I'm willing to meet him. And you saw it here today. So this is a celebration. Yeah. This is fantastic. So Adam Letterman, listen, buddy, you and I... I'm fucking pumped. So get your tickets right now at Improv Asylum. Check out their website and check out April 6th on their calendar. Or if you're a URL guy, go to tiny.cc/cowmania. tiny.cc/cowmania. Or you can check out any of my social media, Cow Social Media. All the links will be on there. Finding the tickets shouldn't be too hard for anyone who has a brain.
If you can't find tickets, get it together.
Absolutely.
It's everywhere.
You can find it. You can get it. Just get it together, okay? But don't check like Ticketmaster or any of the real places.
You can even show up. You could show up and pay. You could get them at the door. Well, Very easy. There's $5 more.
Tickets cost $5 more at the door. And that's if there are tickets available. Dolph Ziggler is on the show. So right.
I wish I could be there. I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, I know. It's a bummer, but we'll talk about it. Anyway, everybody, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/comediansandwrestling. We're about to record the Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle starring The Rock. Spoiler alert, I give you 5 movies already. It is one of my favorite movies. We're going to be talking about it over on the Patreon. And everybody, this is a fucking celebration today. The Cow title is coming home April 6th, baby. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Comedians of wrestling, I listen on Thursday when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.